If you were watching NBC, or rather ABC News on Sunday, you saw that they did, like every other news station, a report about Omar Mateen and the shooting that happened in Orlando, one of the worst tragedies this country has ever seen. And nobody really knew much about the guy. The only information we got about him was from his wife, who now we think might even be a co-conspirator.
Right.
And the only person I saw that knew him on a personal level was his next guest, Dan Gilroy, who worked with him at a security company, I believe, who also happens to be a guy that I went to high school with. How ironic is that?
Very ironic.
Let's welcome Danny Gilroy to the show. Dan, how are you, dude?
How's it going?
It's going great. I was very surprised to see you on the news, and certainly under these circumstances.
Nobody more surprised than me to be in this position, but not surprised about Omar committing this crime. He was a gentleman that you could say you saw it coming.
What did you guys do together? Where did you work?
We were working at the PGA, which is a pro golf association, Village South Entrance. It's a gated community, and we were basically the entrance security.
And what did you do? Was there any special qualifications that you have to get that job, or do they do background checks, or what do they do?
The only qualification they required is either military or a law enforcement experience.
Right.
I was a police officer for 10 years.
Okay.
And after leaving the job, I wanted something quiet and where I could put up my feet, relax, and basically hide from the world, because it was pretty stressful.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I walked in and sat down my first day at this job and sat down next to the future biggest mass murderer in U.S. history. So how ironic is that?
What did he have in his background that gave him that made him able to get that job?
He went to the police academy and then for a couple months worked as a corrections officer, but they had fired him from that job.
Do we know why he got fired from that job?
No, he got fired so quickly that they used the probationary excuse, but they never gave an answer. But judging by his personality, I can't see a reason why they would ever even keep him.
Now, what were the signs? I heard you saying on the news that he would use the N-word a lot, and he was pretty outspoken about hating people. But you seemed pretty convinced that this guy was a lunatic. What were some of the other things that some of the other signs that he exhibited?
Well, Mike, if you saw this guy walking in the mall, you would turn your head and said, he is going to kill a bunch of people.
Why? Give me an idea of what that looks like. So I know, he looks like an average Middle Eastern guy to me when I see him.
No, his mannerisms. He was always jittery.
Yeah.
I mean, he was jumpy, sweaty. His volume that he spoke was always high, always cursing. He was like in an agitated, angry state constantly.
Was there any indication, because now the speculation is that he might have been a suppressed homosexual, was there any indication of that whatsoever while you spent time with him? Not saying you guys were banging out in the security cage, I'm just saying, anything ever come up? You catch him looking at anything a little too long?
Mike, he had traits.
Yeah?
Tendencies. He had little tics about him that you might say, I wonder if, there's a lot of people that have those kind of traits and that are, they're not gay.
Did he speak hateful of the gays like he did with black folks and stuff?
Very seldom. Very seldom. But you know what? He might have protested a little too much, meaning that he went so far in the other direction.
Yeah, that's like usually a sign.
Right.
That's usually the sign. What was the situation with Tay? He was sending you text messages?
Well, that's what makes me think. After many months, I didn't work with him per se. I was the shift before him.
Right.
And he would come in and relieve me. But he kept coming in earlier and earlier and earlier just to hang out. So hindsight, what man comes in an hour early to work to hang out with another man?
Maybe he might have had a hots for you.
Sorry.
That's all right. He said they were coming and shoot the S. I had to dump it. That's all right.
He would basically just talk about current events, mostly political.
Did he seem like a guy who had no other friends?
No, he had one other friend that he would constantly talk to on the phone, and it was all about the hate, and he would curse and use the N-word, and he just was constantly. It wasn't like it flared up every now and then.
Right.
This was his persona. This was what he was. I mean, residents complained of a loud cursing man that they heard in their car as they drove by.
See,
that's how he was.
This is one of the things. I'm a gun guy. I have a lot of guns. But this is one of the reasons why, as a gun owner and a gun enthusiast, I still think that they need to have a little bit more of an investigation on who they're giving guns to, because it seems like this guy would have been a pretty obvious red flag just based on the behavior that he exhibited in front of you.
G4S, this wasn't an unarmed position. We had guns.
Right.
We had them issued to us. We carried them in our vehicles. But G4S knew. He had two complaints not from me.
Right.
And I did not know at the time, but other people that worked with him accused him of threatening violence, and they called the FBI. Two other people, independent of each other, had made complaints.
So violence so much that they called the FBI?
Yes.
Wow.
Because he was making claims that he was a terrorist. I mean, he actually said he was part of these groups. Now, with me, he never did that.
Right.
But I was the third person who heard this. And it just is amazing that they just thought that, this is not something we need to address. This is not something that's an issue.
The FBI didn't come and interview anybody that worked for your company after the second complaint?
I was amazed by that when I heard it, because they said they investigated.
Right.
Well, they did not talk to me, and I was the only one that ever talked to him, but supposedly they investigated.
This is a gentleman named Dan Gilroy who is joining us. He is a guy that I went to high school with, who I saw on the news on the ABC nightly news on Sunday. How do they track you down? How do they get a hold of you, the news stations, in the first place?
I think the local news. I had told them the story.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
And then it got out nationally.
It's been crazy, right? International news stations are calling you.
Oh, no. Mike, they're not just calling me. They're sitting in my driveway as we speak.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, let
me ask you about any you ever meet the wife?
I saw her twice, but I never met her. I was walking in our local mall, and I saw her at a outside kind of like an outside event. All I did was wave and kept walking, because I didn't want to meet his family, and I didn't want him to meet my family. I mean, I always knew that this man was dangerous. I just tried to keep the peace. You know, he's the crazy guy at work that you don't want to piss off.
Yeah.
Just like, that was basically, I was just like, hi, and I kept walking.
In high school, you were that guy. You didn't have potential to be crazy.
You know what? I remember that.
It's so odd. If you think about it now, if you went back to our high school class and think about it, and I said to you, tell me like the two people that you think could be potential lunatics that could, like, if we read a news story and they said, oh, he shot up the place, we go, oh yeah, well, that was the guy. Everybody always knows who that person is,
right,
when they went to high school. So it's probably easy to identify this guy as a guy who has that potential. It's just odd to me that in a position where we're given guns, the FBI didn't pay a little more attention to a couple of complaints that he was saying he was a terrorist.
Well, the people in his school said that he was cheery and happy and excited at 9/11.
Right. That way, I heard you say that on TV. That should have been the first sign that he would have been somebody that they should keep an eye on.
But supposedly he passed a background check because the FBI did a thorough investigation.
I don't know how thorough it was.
Showed up and
Yeah, I don't know how thorough it was. Twice they looked at him, and twice they let him go, and he was able to go out and get guns, and we all know how it ended there. And do you know anything about the father? Do you ever talk about the father?
Yes. The only time I ever met the father is that he let him in the gated community, which is improper,
right,
to go in to try to sell insurance to the residents. So, and then, of course, we got complaints about some Middle Eastern guy knocking on the doors, and it was his dad. But
nothing about him being a radical or anything like that?
No. He kept that completely under wraps, which is, again, you know, is the sign. He did not speak about religion, did not speak about his nationality. He did not do anything that would shine any kind of light on it. He spoke about police and police policy and police tactics. And, I mean, he spent a whole year basically picking my brain for every kind of police issue and tactic. I mean, we talked about mass murder.
Yeah.
Because every month or two, unfortunately, there's some kind of event in the United States.
And sure.
He wanted to know my opinion of that and, you know, how the police react. And this is not a red flag because, you know, he went to the police academy.
Right. And you're discussing the topic, you know, things that are happening in daily life.
Right, and plus he's a wannabe.
Yeah.
So a wannabes always want to talk about things. And he seemed to enjoy the topic. And, you know, Mike, it calmed him down to talk about police stuff. So if we were talking about, like, the St. Louis incident or Trayvon Martin or that sort of thing, he seemed to be calm. It soothed, and he wasn't yelling and screaming. So I always deflected the conversation to that, and that's what we talked about.
Very interesting. This is Dan Gilroy, a man who knew Omar Mateen, the murderer. What is your opinion based on everything that you knew and that you're seeing now? Is he more of a anti-American terrorist or more of a closeted homosexual? And that's where his anger and frustration comes from. A little bit of both. I mean, what would you, if you had to use your police training right now to identify what his biggest problem is, you'd say terrorist more than closeted homosexual?
I think the terrorist was just a convenient cover for him being crazy.
Yeah, crazy is the key that people don't ever really want to say. Every time there's a mass murder, crazy is the key. That's what they all have in common.
Right. He found an excuse or legitimacy for his craziness. I mean, yeah. Or his insecurity he was raised by a mean father who was closed-minded and hated people. And then he turned out, like you said, to have tendencies. I mean, when I finally put my foot down, Mike, this is the funny story, and this is the breaking news that I'm going to give you. But it's
I got a scoop. Here comes a scoop.
It's funny. It's funny. Your show is that kind of show. He starts sending me text messages, and my phone's beeping all night long. And I'm next to my girlfriend, Colleen, and she's looking at me like, who are you ignoring, and who's been texting you all night long? And I'm like, you know, oh, nobody, honey. And after like 15, 20 times, she's giving me that look like, you know, you're in trouble. And then finally she says, what's going on? So I pick up the phone. I'm like, listen, it's not a woman. Relax. It's just the guy I work with. He's kind of a little crazy. And so she's like, let me see. So she starts reading the text messages. And I'm like, look, it's just him. He's mad because I told him I don't want to talk to him no more because he's crazy and I just want him out of my life.
Right.
And they start to be rambling text messages about, I thought you were my friend. You betrayed me. You know, nobody does this and gets away with it. And
you're lucky he didn't kill you.
On and on and on. Right. Well, yeah. So she looks at me and says, tell me the truth. And I'm like, I am telling you the truth. She goes, no. Did you sleep with this man?
I was going to say, he sounds like a jealous ex-girlfriend.
Guess what she said? She goes, this man sounds like you just dumped him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't look at it that way. But and after about an hour, And then, of course, he kept calling. The next day came. 18 calls in one day from this guy.
Holy cow.
And so finally, you know, and I wanted to keep her in the loop because, you know, now I wanted to be honest and open. And she starts to cry and get upset. And she says, "This is scary. You don't seem to think this is, you think this is funny, and this is scary." I go, "This is just, he's just crazy." So at that point in time, when I got my girlfriend crying in my house and G4S not caring, not doing anything about it, I said, "I'm done." And I quit. And
so
that was a year ago.
That's actually the reason why you left the company, is because you didn't want to associate with that guy anymore.
Yeah, and because the company just did not care, and they didn't want to move me. So at the end, when I had a blow-up argument with the supervisors down there for being, I called them a piece of something.
Yeah.
I called them a liar. I called them incompetent. And they still just were like, "Well, you know, we have to have a lot of proof because he's Muslim before we do anything."
Yeah, you don't want to open yourself up to a lawsuit.
I said, "Well, you don't." Yeah, they don't want to open themselves up for a lawsuit. So I said, "Well, move me out of there." And then, you know, they were like, "Well, that just costs money to train people." And I said, "You know what? Well, you can train somebody to replace me because I quit."
Wow.
You know,
he called you 18 times in one day. You guys, you must be great in bed.
Very funny. You know what? The police removed ABC from my driveway because they questioned me about that yesterday, and it got hot. So,
Is there any? I mean, think about it for your own girlfriend, who I haven't seen Dan since high school. I have no idea what his sexual tendencies are, but he clearly has a girlfriend. For her to ask out of the blue if there was any gay stuff going on between the two of you, had she had any other indication before? Or she was totally basing that on him being obsessive.
On the text message. Yes.
Holy.
She says, "No man calls another man 18 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he was crazy.
Can't say that word.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right. He may have been in love with you. You might have been the thing that sparked the whole anger.
No, because it's been a year. It's been a year since I left there. So
broke his heart, Dan Gilroy. You broke his heart.
A lot of people say after seeing me on the news that I'm a looker, so maybe he's told the same thing.
What did you do after high school? I know I ran into you one time in Newport Richey, of all places, and I saw that you were there. And then I think, didn't you run for some city office or something?
Yes, I did. I ran for a councilman, and then I started running restaurants, and then I became a cop. And then you're gonna laugh because you're gonna remember the incident. But I had an incident on the hood of my car with a female.
Yeah.
Who got pepper sprayed, and let me just say this: that community did not appreciate that. And
I said to my brother-in-law when I saw you on TV, I go, he's a cop. He was a cop. I go, I don't know. I remember him getting in trouble for something.
Yeah, it wasn't any trouble. I mean, I did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of those things I was completely guilty for being right.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, and it was the media coverage that did me in, because the police department, the community, didn't care when it happened. 6 months went by. Well, then the news got involved, and then all of a sudden it was an issue.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And, well, you know, it's what the world we live in. I mean, I don't blame the press.
So you have kids now?
Yeah, I have children, and you know, that's the scary part.
Yeah, I was gonna say, now this psychopath obsessed with you, if you have kids, it'd even be more of a reason to get away from
him. Well, that's the funny part. And yeah. You know what, I still think about, my mindset was, I am just gonna go put my feet up, sit in this little shack, I'm gonna be reading a novel, I'm gonna relax and let all the stress flow out from, you know, because I worked murders and rapes and just disgusting stuff for 10 years in one of the worst cities in Fort Pierce. And I wanted just to relax for a little bit. And day one, I got to meet the future mass murderer
Jesus.
Of all history. It's like, how is that possible, Mike? Did I just walk in and sit down next to this guy? I mean, I'm just like,
I know it's crazy.
The luck is just.
We for some reason our high school class was tied into a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
The years ago, there was a police officer who shoved the broomstick up a guy's butt. Oh. That was one of our.
You know what, Mike?
Yeah.
You saw that coming too, because he was a sadistic person back then in high school.
Oh, I like Justin. His brother was crazy, but Justin was all right. But yeah, I don't know. But his mother was one of our teachers, and she could have been like she was the sweetest lady in the world.
Yeah.
And there's been so many stories right now. The principal is making national news for threatening people. It's crazy. It's just a weird. We had a priest in our school who used to be a masked wrestler who went on to be a child molester who tried to kiss Mike Rinaldi on the mouth when he drove him home from Eddie Jennings' graduation party. We had a lot of crazy things happen.
I think that's the scene from Billy Madison.
Yeah. No, it was Father Quigley. I'm telling you right now.
You want to hear something funny? Well, he used to take confession, and I never thought about anything at the time because we were naive kids.
Yeah.
But you'd go in there and say, listen, I broke into the neighbor's house, I stole a car, I set something on fire, and he'd say, that's great, but did you masturbate? Tell me about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. That's a sin, so you need to disclose that to me.
Whispered in my ear.
Yeah, exactly. But you never thought anything about it at the time.
Holy.
So he used to do that all the time, you know.
Yeah, he was a real, like, a huggy-touchy-feely guy, and we're like, hey, Father Quigley. He had no idea that he was in the corner later on at night under his robe. He looked like Friar Tuck. I got to tell you, this is a weird, horrific turn of events, and weird that we know anybody associated with this guy. But I appreciate you coming on the air. It was good to catch up with you. I'm sorry that you have to have association with it, because now news is going to want to talk to you for the next couple of weeks till they figure out what's going on. Yeah.
They're all over the place. They're all over my family's house, relative's house, ex-girlfriend's house, which is okay. They can stay at her house. you know, so.
If I was her, I'd be like, I'm pretty sure they were in love.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know it's funny now, but at the time I was like, oh, this is just great.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I need. So now not only do I know the mass murderer, but he had a homosexual crush on me too.
Right. And you know that's going to be on the cover they're going to have a little picture of you on the cover, and it's going to be like, was this the guy Omar Mateen was in love with?
Right.
Homosexual lover with a question mark? I'm just going to kill you.
Could it be? You know, you're 50 dead people, and I knew this guy, and you think, how could it get any worse?
Yeah.
You think, it can't get any worse. No, it can.
Until they accuse you of being his lover.
Yes, exactly.
Although, I got to be honest with you, if you were his lover, you should admit it now instead of waiting weeks for them to uncover it. So if you want to come clean now, this is your last chance.
No. It's definitely straight. you know, definitely straight, and it's probably...
All the guys we thought might have been gay in high school are gay.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, when I got on Facebook and I see somebody's gay, I don't go, oh my God. I go, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much thought he was gay. Dan, not one of those guys.
Right.
He'd be a guy I'd be surprised if I found out. Well, listen, I seriously appreciate you taking the time to come on the air. I know a lot of people want to talk to you, and I thank you for that. And it was good to catch up with you, and I'm glad you're safe.
I'm glad I'm safe too. I probably wouldn't be doing this if the guy wasn't dead, and I wasn't sure that he was just a, you know, just a crazy man. Because I mean, it's very. And we know we're joking around now because that's just where we're from and how we are. But I mean, it is a tragedy. You know, we kind of laugh in the face of, you know,
it's how you cope with things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're from. And you know, sometimes it gets us in trouble. I'm sure you know what I mean, Mike.
Oh yeah. Oh, believe me, I've been in my share of trouble. I did learn a lot of things today. We certainly learned that Omar has had terrorist tendencies, self-proclaimed, since Dan knew him. He was a little bit of an obsessive lunatic, and that Dan Gilroy is a great kisser. Those are the things we learned today. Dan, thank you. I appreciate you coming on. It was good to catch up with you.
Yes, Mike. Anytime, all right? Anytime. And now you owe me lunch because, you know, I am a popular guy, and you did kind of win the media lottery by getting a hold of me. But you
listen,
know,
I am straight, Dan. I'm sorry, I cannot go on future dates with you. hey, if you ever find yourself over here in this area, I'd love to catch up and take you out to lunch, man.
You know what? I am trying to get on the Anderson Cooper show, so I don't know if that says anything.
Yeah, so. I can. Well, yeah, sure it does. He must be like, well, man, this guy was enough to set Omar crazy. Anderson, he's a New York guy. He's got a sight set on you now. You wear that collared shirt you wore on TV. He's like, I'm teasing you. Thank you, Dan. And if you're ever this way, let's catch up.
All right. Thanks, Mike. All have right, a good day.
You too. There you go.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.